This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
It's around us all the time. We see blatant examples of it, a headless chook or two or three in a chicken coop. A lot of it floating around North Korea that gets leaked out every now and again. Mara Steep is our psychologist. Hello.
Good morning, Aaron and Aaron. Sorry, I got a little bit momentarily distracted with the headless chook recipe.
Haven't you seen that yet?
I wouldn't go so far as propaganda.
Well, it's interesting nonetheless. Propaganda, sir. What is it? Who is it? And why?
Well, I guess the first thing that's really, really interesting is I think you're right in that propaganda actually, there's a lot of negative perception around, you know, the word and the idea and things like that. But propaganda, I think, even when you just look at the meaning of the actual word, is just to spread a message. But more generally, when we talk about any form of propaganda, we're talking about the kind of psychology of persuasion, and we're talking about a form of communication which actually has the intent of actively influencing others in some way. And generally, what that means about the message, as well as the intended recipient, as well as the sender, is that it is carefully created and managed information, which quite often, regardless of which side of or the politics or the organisation which is the sender, generally the message omits certain facts and presents one part of the argument, and also appeals to, very stereotypically, appeals to the emotion of the receiver as opposed to their logic and their reason. So a really carefully created message, I guess, in order to influence and persuade is the sort of thing that that propaganda is.
With that in mind, it kind of being a message of persuasion, do you think there can actually be good propaganda?
I guess I would say that certain aspects of public health campaigns are actually fall into the category of persuasive almost propaganda messages, so the quit smoking campaigns and things like that, even if obviously there's a lot of logic and a lot of reason around why some of these campaigns are important and what the benefits of certain actions may be. If even a certain percentage of the population isn't quite ready or willing to actually hear that message, then the way that message has to be conveyed starts to actually border on and uses a lot of the psychology around persuasion to actually, you know, be more effective.
There are certain tactics with that as well, though, where you've got and necessarily they don't always work. With smoking, the scare tactics doesn't seem to be, they've seemed to say it doesn't really make a difference. So you've got that, you've got all sorts of emotional and manipulation and all of that, with just generally speaking now. What are some of those tactics from a psychological perspective and their effectiveness?
So I guess all communication tends to fall into either two categories of psychology. So the thinking and the understanding, the processing of it, falls into cognitive psychology, so the psychology of how we create the world with thoughts, and the distribution of the message and the way it's conveyed and things like that tends to fall into the social psychology realm, so the power of information in social circles and things like that. Certain messages, particularly when we're talking around propaganda, tend to have a couple of hallmarks in that they kind of appeal to authority, so they appeal to the authority of the organisation sponsoring the message or of the spokesperson, and there's some evidence that sort of suggests that persuasion occurs really easily when the audience or the receiver attributes to the communicator some degree of credibility or expertise, trustworthiness or even attractiveness. When it comes to advertising messages and things like that, can actually be really, really important in the belief or the transmission of that message. Appeals to fear, appeals to the idea of the bandwagon or joining a crowd, because one of the things that's really important for all of us, and particularly the social psychology concept of the in-group versus the out-group. We like to be included because we're social creatures, and so we really, really, even the idea of not being included, of missing the boat, of being not one of the crowd can actually be quite a fear-instilling thing, and it can actually influence the way we understand information. And that's why, particularly when it comes to this type of communication, some of these concepts are used as a way to help include people, or where maybe individually they may not actually believe or may not actually agree with certain statements and things like that. Black or white kind of messages, like you're with us or you're against us, are also really common. The cult of, and talking about that, the attractiveness and the expertise, credibility of the communicator, it's really common for a cult of personality to be created around certain individuals. And that can even be around branding and spokespeople for brands. So the individual can be almost idolized and romanticized to the point that what they actually say or the messages that they're actually giving aren't questioned. They're kind of accepted. And all of these things are just really common ways to help persuade someone to move a little bit in their own belief.
What do you think would be a good way to kind of, I guess, simply recognise what the difference between propaganda and, I guess, just marketing?
And this is the, I mean, I guess I would say at one end of the spectrum, I think when it comes to persuasive messages, you do have marketing. At the other end, you do have out-and-out propaganda and almost, you know, aspects of mind control, or at least in climates where that some of these messages don't occur in democracies, in places where dictatorships happen, then it's really, really difficult. The power of the state actually controls the belief system. But I guess more generally, this, when I was researching this, this actually showed me that we're always swimming through a sea of persuasion. There's always beliefs that we're being asked to pick up, whether it be in the ramp up to an election, whether it be with differing points of view in the news and things like that. And interestingly, so I think there's a few questions that we can actually ask ourselves as to generally and to navigate our worlds more generally, I think. And one of the cognitive psychologists actually has actually started to understand people as cognitive misers, he uses the term. So we actually don't think about things as much as we would like to think we would. And we actually just accept things and make decisions and function with beliefs that either we don't know we have or we've kind of just grabbed and never really actually put on the witness stand and ask questions. So some of the most important questions across the board are just why or why not? Why am I being asked to believe a certain thing? Why do I believe a certain thing? Questions around trying to get a bit of an understanding of the intentions of the sender, of the message, of the logic of any potential argument or even any potential message in the media or in our lives in general. What are the facts and figures? Is it consistent? How does it actually gel with me? And what are the potential counter interpretations? We live in a very, very fast paced media society, so we get messages all the time. There's not often a lot of time to explore and consider the multitude of grey that we live in. So this is something that I guess the onus falls on all of us to do. And I would put the message out there to everyone in Hopeland that you can start with what I'm saying. If it doesn't gel, question it. Find your own answer. I love that. The other thing would also be just to check in with the role of emotion in any potential message that we're receiving, because sometimes that's not something we're encouraged to do. You know, what are the role of emotions in this for me? What emotions do come up, and in what ways are they influencing or attempting to influence the decisions that I'm making, the things that I'm saying? And then just practice. My hero, Socrates, said that the unexamined life isn't worth living, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think more and more we need to be encouraging ourselves as a society to ask questions.
Wow, Maurice, what a dose of food for thought.
I've got all the way back to, you know, Socrates.
That's comprehensive research.
Wow, we've got smart on our show.
Thank you so much, Maurice.
That may just be the power of persuasion.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.